Session number 12217, Reel 3.
Mr. Lang, Reel 2.
And then suddenly there was a terrific crash in my back, which was the armour plating, shells hitting there, or shells and bullets, what have you. And I don't know what shot me down at that time. No idea. They say, I think the official records say it was a 109, but I don't know. And it's rather like shooting a bird when it's hit. It sort of falls out of the sky. And this is what happens in my aeroplane. But it wasn't on fire. It didn't catch fire. But I found that I could control it to a certain extent. That is, I pulled the stick fully back and it went into a fairly steep glide. And obviously it was very dangerous to be wounded because you would be attacked again and finished off. But anyway, I managed to get out of the action and I saw below me Gravesend. It's rather strange what one's instincts, how your instincts react. But I'd got a brand new aeroplane, and I didn't want to jump out of it. I wasn't frightened to jump out of the parachute, and because it was semi-controllable. And I did the unwritten thing that you should never do. I stayed with the aircraft, although I wasn't in complete control. And if I opened the throttle, glycol poured all back and you couldn't see, so I closed the throttle and the engine, the spot was windmilling. And I saw Gravesend Airport, aerodrome, and the Thames below me. So I did a big circle around it, very high high up, about 10,000 feet. And circled down onto it and then did an approach and found that at 30 feet, where you normally checked, I couldn't check. It was still going down like that. So just before I slammed into the deck and killed myself, I slammed open the throttle and all clouds of smoke and steam went. But it lifted the nose and I shot across the Gravesend aerodrome on the wheels, and the engine caught fire and flames were going everywhere in front of me. So I stepped off the wing, undid my straps and slid off the wing onto the grass. It was a grass airfield. And rolled over and over, and I was completely unhurt and uninjured. And the aircraft went on and their fire engines came out and put out the flames. And I just ignored it. I went to the mess and got myself a cup of tea or a drink. In those days, the bar was very often open and you could have a drink. And the engineer, station wing commander, engineer officer came in to me. He said, "That was stupid of you, wasn't it?" I said, "Why? You've got an aeroplane down intact, brand new aeroplane." I said, "It'll be repairable." He said, "Don't be silly, it's category A, it's a write-off." He said, "You know what happened?" He said, "The panels underneath have been blown down at the back, so they acted as elevators, and I couldn't have landed it, I couldn't have pulled it up, because they were keeping it the nose down." And he said, "The controls are nearly shot through." He said, "The cables are just hanging on with threads." And the air screw was interesting because they were wooden and plastic airplanes with air screws with wire netting. And all the wire netting was 6 feet out in front where the bullets had gone through the air screw and taken all the innards out. And anyway, there's category A, which is mentioned in the records as a write-off. That was one incident.
Do you know when that was?
Yes, I've got the date.
Was it in... We'll look at it later, but... Was it in September?
Oh, September that was, yes.
September 1940.
I think it was September the 14th, actually. What, 14th or 15th, one of the big days.
Were you conscious of something called the Battle of Britain taking place?
Not really. It was an ongoing war. I mean, the France, all we knew, they were going to land on the coast, and we've got to defend the coast.
Do you think they would get across?
Yes. I mean, they were even bombing up Tiger Moss and everything. Every aeroplane in the Air Force was going to defend it. I mean, this was Churchill's idea. We knew all this was going on. But, of course, the Hitler's invasion fleet, what is it, the Eagle? No, what it was called. It did start out, but we bombed it so badly, damaged it so badly, that they decided, and of course they hadn't got air superiority, and it was called off.
Did you hear Churchill's speeches of that summer?
Oh, we had radio. We didn't listen to it very often, quite frankly. But, yes, we knew what was going on as far as the British propaganda was concerned.
What was your attitude towards the enemy? Did you hate the enemy or not?
Yeah, I only hated them for bombing my parents' home.
Did your parents get bombed out?
And the house that I was born in. No, they didn't. It wasn't, no. But they were bombing all around Muswell Hill. A lot of places were bombed out there. And I could look down. I knew where Alexander Palace was when I was up there. You could see Alexander Palace, and my home was just near there, you know, right within yards of Alexander Palace grounds.
Was there any sense of personal combat in the Battle of Britain, or was it just
no.
plain?
It's a very... you're an isolated individual in a capsule. And you've got a gun, and you know the enemy's got a swastika, and you know that's got to be shot at. That's all there was to it.
What did you feel that the hurricane was a match for the one unknown?
We had one great disadvantage, and it was the only big disadvantage, but. And that is still beyond all of us, our understanding today, and that is that the Messerschmitt 109 had a fuel-injected Mercedes engine, and consequently, when you're flying a single-seater fighter, either Messerschmitt or Spitfire or Hurricane, you can be cruising along at 200 miles an hour and put the stick forward about half an inch to go down, because they're very, very sensitive. It's like a thoroughbred racehorse, particularly the Spitfire. The controls are not terribly expensive, sensitive, but beautifully sensitive. And you had to be sensitive to fly them. You had to have a sensitive hand to fly them cleanly and well. And if we put our stick forward, the engine stopped. Because we had atmospheric carburetors. Whereas, and at the same time, if you pushed it hard forward, you blacked out. So that you were actually couldn't see, but your brain was working, but you couldn't operate your hands. I mean, your brain is blacked out for physical operation, and you can't see either. Whereas the Germans, the same thing would happen to them. So if you got up behind a Messerschmitt and you started firing, he'd immediately push his stick forward, and he would black out, and you would black out, because you would try to follow him. You'd black out too. You'd push your stick forward, you know, sharply like that, to go down with him. And when you both came to, you came to, and he came to, his engine would still be motoring full bore, and yours would have stopped and then started again on its own when it settled down. But by that time, he'd gone too far away for you to catch him. And that's why this maneuver was evolved, where we actually, directly he put his stick forward, we had to go on the back and go upside down, full throttle, upside down, and chase him upside down, and then roll out. And that was the only way to keep him within sight, which there was so much drag in the roll that that left you behind. But not so far as if you blacked out with him. But usually you couldn't catch him in a dive, except for one thing. You, in the early days, in the beginning, in early days of September, the Messerschmitt was very sensitive, had a sensitive tail. And if he did violent manoeuvres downwards and so on, and it exceeded a certain speed, the tail fell off. Well, nothing fell off except some canvas off the Hurricanes. I landed that particular Hurricane. I landed at Gravesend. Most of the canvas was off of the fuselage, but it didn't affect me very much. I mean, it was still flying, and we often came back with strips of canvas off the fuselage, but it didn't break up. And whatever speed, I mean, you could do, we believe, 500 miles an hour downwards. We believe off the clock, if you were chasing something. Whereas in the early days of September, if a Messerschmitt tried to get up to that speed, that was the only time we could catch him up, when the tail of the Messerschmitt fell off. And that, you could see it fluttering, but nothing, we never had, the Spitfire was magnificent. I mean, nothing fell off of that. It was all metal, be riddled with bullets and still flying. But the Hurricane was nearly as good. It wasn't quite as fast, and it didn't look so nice either, but the Spitfire is the most magnificent looking machine. I mean, it really looks what it's meant to do. But the Hurricane was a bit more of a war horse, a good gun platform. But we had no complaints with it, no, none at all.
Was there any rivalry between Spitfire and Hurricane pilots in the war?
No. There's no choice. You just sent to a Spitfire squadron or a Hurricane squadron. We would all prefer to have had Spitfires, but that wasn't our choice. We were just sent to a squadron. If you happened to have Spitfires, you flew Spitfires. In fact, the Spitfire was easier to fly, I think, than the Hurricane. I flew them later, you know, a lot of them later, but and preferred them to a Hurricane. But in the Battle of Britain, I didn't fly Spitfires. No, there were very few Spitfires in the Battle of Britain. About 80% were Hurricanes. It's all the talk was Spitfire. By the Germans, they thought everybody in British aeroplane was a Spitfire, but it wasn't. I mean, 80% of them were Hurricanes.
You've now found in a reference book that quite a large number of your squadron were shot down on that same day that you were shot down in September 1940.
That's right. There was 7 shot down on that date in my squadron, and the records read Sergeant A. Marshall shot down by Messerschmitt 109 near Dover, pilot unhurt at 16:25 hours. The aircraft was destroyed. The Hurricane was destroyed. I'm next in the list. Shot down, believed by Spitfire, and force landed on Gravesend airfield, pilot unhurt. Hurricane destroyed.
We won't read them all out because it's in the reference book.
No, but yeah, but then there's a next one is a shot down by a Spitfire. The next one is shot down by a Spitfire, and all I was shot down at 16:31. The next one by the same lot of Spitfires at 1628. The next one, 1627 by Spitfire. The next one, 1624 by 109. The next one by a Spitfire at 1630. And the next one by a Spitfire at 1635. That's five of us shot down by Spitfires.
So that's in the reference book.
Yep.
After you were shot down at that time at Gravesend, can you remember any other incidents that happened to you in the Battle of Britain? What other things stick out?
Really, the only thing that comes next. I mean, I flew practically every day, and things happened every day, and I can't remember incidents at all. And in fact, we hardly made any notes or any. We didn't make notes. Nothing in my logbook. But on the next big incident for me that I obviously remember was September the 23rd, and the record shows that I was shot down at 9:55 hours by 109 over Kent. I bailed out and was wounded and admitted to Chartham Hospital near Canterbury.
What are your personal memories of that incident?
I don't know what hit me. I've no idea. I don't think any of us knew when you were, you know, it wasn't an individual combat. It was just a mass of airplanes and suddenly I was hit. But also, three other members of my squadron were shot down at the same time, 9:55 by 109, 10:02 by 109s, and 10:03, another 73 squadron shot down. That's four of us, all within minutes of each other.
Where was your own aircraft hit?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. It was absolutely uncontrollable, a mess. You just got out of it as quickly as possible. You couldn't control it. What's the good of staying with it?
How did you get out?
Well, just undid my straps, and actually, it was quite serious, now you come to mention it, because we wore flying boots, and we had a strap round the top of the flying boots. And I remember sort of undoing, I don't remember, but what I must have done, did my straps, and then started standing up on the seat to get out. And I slid back the hood, which I had to, I always flew with a hood chuck, slid it back, which luckily it did slide back. Sometimes it didn't slide back, there was damage with bullets or something, but it slid back. And there's a mirror over the front top of the windscreen. And the aircraft must have done what we call a bunt, because I wasn't in control of it. The stick was no useless. And I was shot out head first, but the strap on my, I think it must have been my right flying boot. No, it must have been left flying boot. Caught on that mirror, and I was hanging upside down, pointing face down with the aircraft going straight down. But eventually the strap broke, or a boot came off, I think, because I think it must have been my boot came off, because I never saw my boots again, either of them. But I was on the sort of flying through the air, and I distinctly remember this particular incident because it was a lovely sunny day and I was very high up. And you go head over heels, and you see the blue sky and the green grass and the blue sky, and you gradually increase speed to your terminal velocity of 120 miles an hour. And you didn't pull the ripcord high up like that. It's very cold, for one thing, and the other thing is all these aeroplanes are flying around, and they were shooting, the enemy was shooting us up on the end of the parachute. So you didn't pull the ripcord, you just did a free fall, for as long as you thought. No timing. I mean, we had no training to do parachute jumps. It was just hit and miss business. And eventually I could see the ground coming up rather rapidly, and I pulled the ripcords. And you stop very suddenly from 120 miles an hour to, you've got these two straps pulling on your inside of your legs. And there's the canopy, and you look up and you say, thank goodness for that, you see. And I must have been down to about probably 5,000 or 6,000 feet or less, because I didn't notice any. It was out in the country. I didn't notice. I was just looking around down below. You don't look around the scenery. You're looking where you're going to land, and you can guide it to a certain extent by pulling the shrouds. And I saw that I was going to land in an orchard near Sittingbourne. And I got a bit worried about that because I was near the housing. And I pulled the shroud on the left, I think, to steer it away from the houses and to a better landing place. And I actually was going head first for what I thought to be at that time an apple tree. It was probably a hop bush, because there was a hop field probably in Sittingbourne in Kent. And I sort of pulled myself around, because on the way down I saw that my trousers were shattered and my thigh up here all threadbare and blood coming out and so on. And I didn't know how badly my leg was. I couldn't feel it actually. And I tried to not to land on it, but unfortunately I did land on it. And that leg actually gives me trouble today. I was told by the doctors when I got to hospital that I wouldn't be able to walk without a limp for months. But anyway, I had shrapnel wounds in my thigh that they treated in hospital. And it was a very pleasant experience to be in hospital, to be quite honest. It was a nice rest. And in the next bed was another pilot who was comatose. He'd been staring at the ceiling for about a week when I arrived. And the nurses said to me, look, we'll put you next to him because we think we can save him if we can bring him round. He's a vegetable at the moment, but I said, what happened to him? She said, well, he came down over the hospital. He said he was hanging on the end of the tail of a Spitfire by his leg. The parachute was caught on the tail of the Spitfire. And he said, what we saw when he was high up, he was going round and round in circles. And he says, consequently, his leg's like it is after a week. It was all swollen, the whole leg, you see. And he said, it must have been such an awful experience that his brain sort of reacted, and that's why he's like that. He hasn't spoken, he hasn't looked at us, and he can't see anything or anything. And she said, I think if you treat him a bit roughly and shout at him every when you think of it, you know, you're in the next bed, we may get him around. And lo and behold, I looked in there and said, God, I said, that's Cross. No, what's his name? Sergeant Corfe. C-O-R-F-E. And he'd wandered into our squadron in France. He'd been shot down. He was a Spitfire pilot flying from England. And he'd been shot down, and he was wandering around France, and he found us. And he joined us. He flew with us in France until we came back to England, when he was returned to his squadron. Now, this was 3 months later, and he was in the next bed to me. And rather remarkably, I was able to shout at him, say, come on, you stupid oaf, Corfe, wake up, wake up. I used to do this every day. All the other people in the ward were shouting at me to stop making a noise and so on. And slowly, his eyes began to move, and the nurses were hilarious. I mean, and this fellow recovered. And we had a marvellous time with these lovely VAD nurses. We had a marvellous time for
Which hospital was this?
2 weeks. Well, it really is a mental home, but it was made a military hospital in the war.
Where?
Chartham Mental Home, I think it's actually called. But I understood it was Chartham Hospital. Chartham, Chartham. And I believe it's back to, or has been, back to a mental home. But during the war, there were Germans in there, in the same hospital.
Did you speak to anyone?
No, we weren't allowed to communicate with them. And some apparently very badly burned people were in there, which we weren't allowed to see either. If we were physically, I mean, I saw some of these people after the war, and they were an awful sight, you know, to see a man without a, you know, with nothing, no hands and probably no arms and no face and no hair. And there were Germans and British pilots like that. Anyway, no, that was obviously not for us. We were badly injured enough ourselves. Thank goodness I wasn't burnt, you know. Because being burnt, we all had a horror of. Anyway, unfortunately, he was killed in the Battle of Britain a few weeks later.
What made you think that the Germans were shooting people down in parachutes in the Battle of Britain?
Well, everybody, we talked about it. We did delayed drop purposely. Some pilots had seen them being shot at. And we were more or less told, you know, sort of use your brain, and you're on the end of a parachute, or you're going to be. You jump out, and you're a long way up, wait for a long while for you pull the ripcord.
But did you see it yourself?
Pardon?
Did you see Germans shooting at people in their parachutes?
I didn't actually see them, no. But it was done, definitely. Definitely. Oh, yes. Well, obviously, I mean, there's another pilot again to fight for another day, as I did. I mean, shot down 3 times.
But would you have shot anybody down in a parachute?
I suppose in the same circumstances they were, probably we would have been ordered to.
How do you mean in the same circumstances?
Well, if they were defending Berlin, and, I mean, the obvious thing is to shoot them, because what are you shooting them down for anyway? You're preventing them to fighting another day.
But would you have shot them down?
I don't know. It never occurred to me, actually. I was never asked to, so I never did. I mean, why? There's no object in us shooting them down over England. They were going to land and be prisoners of war anyway.
How long did it take you to recover from hospital?
I got back to the squadron, I think about November the 10th, I think. And then I was told we're going to the Middle East, and immediately afterwards we were on the Furious, went up to Liverpool, we're on the Furious, and there was our aircraft, and we flew to Takoradi, sailed for Takoradi in West Africa.
What was the voyage like? Was it uneventful, or did
anything? Oh, no, we were chased by the Admiral Scheer, and oh, no, the Atlantic was rather alive with German battleships at that time, but we never saw anything. It was too rough, I think. The old aircraft kind of was waving about everywhere. And for the first 2 or 3 days, we had, out of Liverpool, we had a destroyer escort that were jumping up and down. Anyway, that was just another thing. We slept.